Blog Talk Radio.
Show. So glad to have all of you guys that could join us tonight, and those of you who will be listening to the archive links, we definitely appreciate you tuning in. For those that are listening to the Before You Go Pro Locker Room Show for the very first time, this is a show that we are definitely pumped up about, excited about, and it's something that we enjoy doing every single week with Before You Go Pro. Our company is about feeding into young football players between the ages of 13 and 19. We want the kids that are ready and hungry to get after it. Those are the kids that we love to work with. Those are the kids that we're passionate to work with. And we have an entire staff and team here at Before You Go Pro that's all we eat, sleep, and breathe. So once again, appreciate you guys joining in tonight. We have another amazing show for you guys, plenty of content for any young player, any parent of a young player, or even a coach of players. We have plenty of content for you tonight that is going to help you guys along the journey of becoming the best football player you possibly can be. So our last show, which was on Tuesday, was a good teaching point show, and it was about the recruiting timeline. A lot of parents and kids have questions about when things should happen. When should I start hearing from schools? When should I get an offer? When should I be taking official visits and unofficial visits to colleges? So there are so many questions up in the air about the recruiting timeline and just how things work with college football recruiting. Hopefully we were able to give you guys some good food for thought and some feedback as far as that subject goes. It's a pretty deep and layered subject, so that is something that we will definitely continue to touch upon with Before You Go Pro. If you didn't get a chance to hear last Tuesday's show, please check out our website, www.beforeyougopro.com. Click on the little microphone at the bottom of the homepage, and you can listen in on last week's show, or excuse me, Tuesday's show. We typically do one show on Tuesday or Thursday that's a teaching topic, and another show, depending on when we can arrange our guests to come into the locker room, that is a show about talking to somebody who's been there and done that, somebody that's played college or pro football or coached at the college or pro level or maybe currently doing it. And we usually bring that person in once a week as well. This week we are actually going to switch things up. We're going to have two shows this week that are based on teaching topics, and we will have two shows next week that will have guests into the locker room that are going to feed into the Before You Go Pro audience. And I'll talk a little bit about who the guests will be towards the end of this show. So tonight's show is a very interesting topic. It's something that pertains to every single football player across the country. I don't care if you're listening to us in Alabama or if you're listening to us in sunny Los Angeles. If you're a football player and you consider yourself a serious football player, then this subject definitely pertains to you. And the subject of tonight's show is your off-season game plan. Now, you know me, Coach Wood is always big on having a game plan and having not only just a plan A, but a plan B, plan C, and sometimes even a plan D. But tonight we are going to talk about your off-season game plan. You know, we want to talk about what is in your mind and what do you have on the agenda to become a better football player for next year. Now, I don't do perfect. If you're sitting here listening to this show, you're sitting here in the Before You Go Pro locker room and you say, Coach, I'm the perfect player. There's nothing that I can do to get better. I'm already the best player I can be. Then we're not talking to you. Matter of fact, Before You Go Pro isn't talking to you. We are after the kids that know there is something they can do to get better. And not only do they know it, they're eager to get better and find out what that thing is. So tonight we are talking about your off-season game plan. And I look at the off-season, you guys, as your opportunity to make up ground or create more ground between you and your competitors. Now, you have to keep in mind, your competitors are not just your opponents on Friday night lights or on Saturday afternoons. Those aren't your competitors. Your first competitors are your teammates. Because if you're not careful, your teammates are going to be the ones trying to take your position one day. You know, you may be a starting quarterback now, but whether or not you're a starting quarterback next year is going to have a lot to do with how your offseason looks. Once you get yourself in position with your offseason where your teammates can't touch you, then you can start to focus on the opponents that you'll see next year in the fall on the football field. So first and foremost, you have to make sure with your off-season game plan that you're putting yourself in position that nobody on your team can touch your position. Because you will not get to college, or if you're already in college, you will not get a pro shot if you're not starting on your own team. So your first competition is your own teammates. And the off-season is the opportunity to set yourself apart. You know, I always looked at the off-season as showing me the difference between the guys who are really serious and the guys who are part-time football players. Because the part-time football player is the player that is done once the season is done. Once the last game of the season is over, whether that was a regular season game or whether it was a playoff game or a championship game, they're done. The cleats are hung up, the helmet is put away, and they're looking for the next party or something else they can get into. But the professional, the kid that's serious, knows that once that last second ticks off the clock in his final game, that the work is just beginning. And hopefully you had a heck of a season last year. It was the season that went the way you wanted it to go, and things are on the up and up for your career. But you guys know as well as I know, not everybody listening to this show last night had the season they wanted to have. That was you losing your starting position, whether it was you never got a starting position, whether it was injuries that hindered your career, or whether it was just lack of good play. Everybody listening to the show last night, tonight, has had the season that they want to have. So we're going to talk about that tonight in the locker room. And when I look at different subjects to bring up, different teaching topics that I want to bring into the locker room, you know, and the locker room candidate, you know, we talk personal stuff here in the locker room. We talk some things that maybe your coach isn't talking to you about, or maybe your parents don't talk to you about, or maybe your other teammates don't talk to you about. You may come from a losing program in high school or college. And you need somewhere to go which is going to give you that extra push. And that's what the locker room is all about. So when I thought about tonight's subject, I said, what a better time than to talk about the off-season game plan, because nobody is playing right now. All you guys are done with your season. And some people are sitting back on the couch waiting for next year, but others are eager to find some things that they can do to better themselves for next year. So there's no better time to talk about this subject than right now. Now, for some of you guys are multi-sport players. Some of you guys may even be multi-sport stars. And there's been a disconnect, in my opinion, with guys playing multiple sports in high school. And now I'm talking specifically to the high school kids, because once you get to junior college, or once you get to college, and definitely once you get to the pros, it's going to be all about football. But in high school, in my opinion, guys tend to specialize a little bit too young. And what I mean by specialize is they don't do anything but football. So when the football season's over, they go into working out with the trainer for football. They go into 7-on-7 tournaments. They go into the combines and camps. And it's just football 24/7 year-round long. Now, if that is what you do and that has been working for you, that's what you want to continue to do, then who am I to tell you that that's wrong? All I'll tell you is that, in my opinion, I think guys get a tremendous amount of value out of playing multiple sports. That was something that I did growing up in San Francisco, California, and that was something that I think benefited me tremendously as far as my football career. When I was growing up, I played soccer, I played basketball, I played baseball, I ran track, anything I can do to stay active and stay athletic. My father was signing me up for it, or I was signing myself up for it. It wasn't just football 24/7. You know, when you look at basketball, there's been plenty of great football players that were definitely good basketball players as well. A matter of fact, a lot of you guys probably don't know this, but Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback right now, he didn't have any scholarship offers as far as Division I-A schools after his senior year of football in California. He had no Division I-A offers. And I know that probably seems ironic right now, because this is somebody that has just played in an NFC championship game and played in the Super Bowl as a quarterback last year. So to think that at the end of his senior year in high school, this guy who was going to be an eventual NFL superstar had no offers. Nobody wanted him as a college Division I-A quarterback after his senior year in high school. There were some schools interested, but nobody had offered him. And he actually got his first and only Division I-A quarterback offer while playing basketball. The University of Nevada was aware of his talent and aware of his skills, but they hadn't offered him after his senior year in high school. But one of their recruiters happened to catch him playing basketball. And he looked like a fluid athlete, and he looked like he had some good skills. And they went back and they started watching his football film again, and they needed a quarterback. And they said, you know what, let's offer this kid. So Colin Kaepernick actually got his first college football Division I-A football offer playing basketball. So, you know, right there is a good point of somebody playing another sport when football is their main sport. He was also a baseball player. Tom Brady is a Bay Area kid, and he was actually in the same league that I played in, the West Catholic Athletic League, when he was coming up in high school, and most thought of him as a better high school baseball player than football player. And as you guys know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback and went on to play football and quarterback at the University of Michigan. But most thought of him as a baseball player and thought that he would be playing Major League Baseball one day. So there's another person that didn't just specialize. I know times have changed, and a lot of you guys may even go to schools where they want you to only play one sport. But trust me, if you have the opportunity to try out other sports, it's going to only benefit you in the long run. My dad was somebody that rode me hard as far as doing what needed to be done to get to where you want to go. And that is also what Before You Go Pro is all about. There are certain things that you need to do to get to where you want to go. And I was a skilled position player in high school, so I played everything under the sun. I played quarterback. I played wide receiver. I played defensive back. I was a kick returner. So anything that had to do with skill, that was my forte. That's what I was going to do. My dad made it very clear to me growing up that there is no such thing as a top-flight skilled position guy that does not run track. Unless you are a phenom baseball player or that is just your ultimate love as far as sport, and I'm talking West Coast now. I don't know all the different states and when they have their sports as far as the timing of everything. But on the West Coast, track and baseball is in the spring. Track and baseball are your spring and summer time events where they coincide, they conflict. So my dad's point was, unless you are a magnificent baseball player, if you are a skill position football player and you want to be a great skill position football player, it's all about speed, baby. And the speed is on the track. And still to this day, if you are a skill position kid in high school and you talk to Coach Wood, you will hear me say and ask you, are you running track? Because if you're not running track, then what are you doing? You know, I hear the specializing thing, and for some of you guys, that may be working. But if you're not going to do the specializing approach and you're looking for something to better yourself as a skill position football player, then you need to be on the track. And you may not be the fastest guy in the world, but you're never going to get there unless you hit that track. So when we look at alternate sports that guys can play, we've looked at basketball, we look at baseball, and track is something that you guys definitely need to take a look at. Now, track also has the on-the-field portion of track. You know, that's why they call it track and field. So you've got guys doing shot put. You've got guys doing javelin throws. You got guys doing the jumps, the high jump and the long jump. If you're a lineman and you're a football player, you should definitely consider doing shot put. It's going to work on your range of motion with your hips, and also will keep your endurance, because there's going to be times, even as a shot put person or a javelin thrower, that you'll have to jog with the team. You won't be doing sprints, but I'm sure the track coaches will have you doing some jogging. So track and field is a fabulous sport as an alternate sport, whether you're a skill guy or whether you're one of the big boys throwing the shot put. Another great sport as an alternate sport for your off season, fabulous sport, you guys, is wrestling. Wrestling is something that I think has died a little bit at the high school level. It was something that, you know, you heard talked about a lot more, like when I was coming out of high school back in the late 90s. But you don't hear enough about wrestling right now, and it's a fabulous sport. Especially when you talk about your linebackers, your offensive linemen, your defensive linemen, people that in the game of football play in the trenches, you know, people that in the game of football have to use their hands a lot. Wrestling is fabulous for that. And just leverage and balance, you know, even running backs would gain a lot by trying out wrestling one winter. In California, wrestling takes place in the winter, the same as soccer and basketball, you know. So, you know, you definitely want to take a look at wrestling. And here's a couple of big names for you guys that you might not be aware of that were all-state wrestlers. These are guys that were big-time wrestlers in high school. One of them is Ray Lewis. Two Hall of Famers for you right here, Ray Lewis and Ronnie Lott. Two Hall of Famers, great defensive players that were high school all-state wrestlers. So once again, when we look at alternate sports, you guys, don't think that you just have to specialize in football. Don't think that if I'm not specializing, I'm not getting better. Because the sports like basketball, baseball, track, wrestling, those are things that can get you in fabulous shape in the off season for next year's football season. So those are things you want to think of. Now, there are kids that say, hey, coach, that's great. I hear you, but you know what? I stick to football. Football is my thing. That's all I do. That's all I think about. That's all I'm concerned with. And if that's you, then there are definitely some things in the off season that you want to take a look at. In today's world, it's all about the camps and the combines, you know, and the 7-on-7 tournament. We had a signing day special last week, it was last week we had a signing day special on Tuesday the 4th, and you heard two players that are highly recruited high school players that will be playing in the Pac-12 next year that both said that they went to camps and combines. They got their name out there, and people got to learn more about them, and they got to compete at some of the off-season camps and combines. So if you are a player that plans on not playing any alternate sports, I would definitely consider many of the camps and combines. And a little bit later here, we're going to be talking about phases of your off-season. And what I mean by phases, you guys, I mean there's times to do certain things leading up to next year's football season. So we'll talk about the phases and the months of how you should transition your off season, and some of those things like the combines and the 7-on-7 tournaments will factor into the phases of your off season. Many times kids get recruited straight out of the tournaments, the 7-on-7 tournaments, and the combines and camps. So, you know, times have changed. Before, everything was ran by your high school coach. There was nothing that your high school coach didn't know about your recruiting process. In today's world, you guys, kids will get scholarship offers at camps and combines, and the head football coach at the high school might not even know about it. He might be one of the last people to find out about it, because now you got scout.com and ESPN.com, and you've got all these recruiting analysts that scour information across the country to find out who's getting offers and who's committing where. And a lot of this stuff happens not during the fall season. It happens during the camps and combines. To a certain extent, the fall season has become the solidifier. So a team like Michigan may get interested in you at their camp, or a team like Arizona may get interested in you at a combine, and they may offer you because you've generated enough interest. And really, it's the fall when you're playing with your team that solidifies, oh, yeah, he's as good as we saw at that camp, or, oh, yeah, he's as good as we saw at that combine when he was doing his 40-yard dash. You know, so back in my day, you needed to perform on the football field to get any just do off of the football field and get a recruiting opportunity. In today's world, a lot of kids get recruiting opportunities in the off season. So the off season has become more strategic and more influential than ever before for young prospects. So you want to stay abreast with some of the 7-on-7 tournaments, the combines and camps. All the major schools have their own camps. And 90% of them are actually coached by that coaching staff. So if you go to the University of Colorado's camp, you will be coached by the University of Colorado coaches. That's a great opportunity for you to get noticed. And as far as the combines, some of the recruiters can't be at the combines, but they get the reports from the combines. So you may go to the Nike Sparks combine. You may go to the Under Armour combine, and you might not see recruiters right there on site. But please believe they get all that information after that combine is done, and they make judgments about kids after looking at combine results. So you guys can go to the Nike Sparks website. You can go to ESPN.com. They actually have a recruiting section of ESPN.com where you can find out about the upcoming camps and combines. And quickly here, we'll be talking about the phases on when that type of stuff happens in the off season. As far as high school, and the difference between a high school off-season and a college or pro off-season, it's really night and day, you guys. It is so much night and day. Once you get to the college and pro level, and hear me very firm on this, because this was something that I didn't know leaving high school and going off to the University of Colorado. I didn't realize that college and pro football was year-round. I was thinking that, hey, after my season with the University of Colorado Buffalo, I'll be able to kind of let my hair down, even though I'm bald. I'll be able to kind of let my hair down and take a breath and be able to socialize and kick my feet up and have a good time. Yeah, right. College and pro football is year-round. That's why you don't see guys playing multiple sports at the collegiate level. For one, you would have to be a phenomenal athlete. But for two, there's no time. There's no time to play basketball if you're a college football player. There's no time to play baseball if you're a college football player. You will see some exceptional kids running track, like a DeAnthony Thomas that just left the University of Oregon. He was an all-state performer in California in track coming out of high school. So please believe that the University of Oregon track team knew that, and they made a bid, they made a pitch to the Oregon football team, which was paying for his school, paying his scholarship, to let him run track in the off season. And for skill guys, there's no workout like a track workout. So 9 times out of 10, if you're an exceptionally fast kid, your football coach is probably going to let you run track. But that's usually the only sport where you see guys at the collegiate level doubling up, playing two sports. So let me give you a little bit of a breakdown, you guys, for some of you kids and parents that don't know what a college off-season looks like. A lot of times, you know, my mom was not too happy after the first season when she found out I had to go right back to school because the off-season program was beginning. You know, she was thinking she was going to get to spend more time with her baby, but no, 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 no. We are paying six figures for this kid to come play football for us and getting an education. He's ours year-round. That's the college coach's perspective. We're paying six figures for you to come to this school, this fabulous University of Notre Dame. You're ours year-round. So, and I bet you if you ask Coach Kelly at Notre Dame, he'll tell you, hey, this is a year-round thing. Matter of fact, Dan Hawkins, who is the former coach of the University of Colorado, he had a quote, and a lot of people got a chuckle out of his quote because there was a mom wondering why her son was spending so much time in the off season with the football program. And he said, look, this is big-time Division I college football. If you want your son to be part-time, then have him join intramural football. But for some of the schools that I hear you guys want to get to, the University of Cal or Florida State, please believe that this is year-round football when you go to those schools. So an off-season looks like this, or let me give you the perspective or the spectrum of an entire season at the college football level. You have your fall football season, so you play 12 games in college Division I-A football, and after that, the season's over. If you're lucky, you get a bowl game. You get to go home for a little while and spend some time with the family for the holidays, eat a little Christmas turkey, and then you're right back to school for the second semester of school and something called winter conditioning. Winter conditioning traditionally starts, you guys, right after signing day. We've got one kid at UNLV right now, and we've got another kid pending. For the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I talked to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas wide receiver coach on Wednesday. So signing day was on Tuesday the 4th. I talked to UNLV on Wednesday the 5th. On Wednesday the 5th, their football team was up at 6:30 in the morning doing winter conditioning. So signing day was the 4th. The coaching staff was right back at it with their team at 6:30 in the morning on the 5th. So, once again, this is a year-round thing. You do winter conditioning for a couple of months to prepare for Pro Timing Day. What Pro Timing Day is when the NFL scouts will come and they'll test everybody who is draft eligible for your team. And they'll also take a look at some of the younger kids on the team. But everybody performs in front of the NFL on Pro Timing Day. So you're getting ready for winter conditioning, and then after winter conditioning, you're performing for the NFL. After that, you would think that, hey, now it's time for me to take a little break. No breaks. Right after winter conditioning, and Pro Timing Day comes spring football. And spring football is where teams compete. That is where a lot of position battles are won and lost because coaches don't have time in the fall, you guys, to decide who's going to be playing in what position and what the depth chart looks like. They already have to have an idea of that in the college ranks going into the fall, because you got to start preparing for some of the teams that you're going to play against. So a lot of the coaches make their decisions as far as where guys will be on the depth chart in the spring. So spring ball is for a good month and a half, almost 2 months, where guys will compete. You practice against your own team. You scrimmage against your own team. And that's where position battles are won and lost, spring ball. Once again, that will happen after winter conditioning and Pro Timing Day. After spring ball, you're thinking, whew, that was tough. I never played football in the spring before, but now I probably finally get a chance to kick up my feet and take a break. No. After spring ball comes summer training. And what summer training is you with your strength and conditioning coach doing drills, doing running tests, doing weight training, and really, really starting to get your body physically prepared for summer training camp. In the summer training session, that is where your strength and conditioning coach, you don't see your position coach much in summer training. That strength and conditioning coach, you're all his, buddy, and he's going to put you through the ringer to see if he can break you and to see if you're going to be ready for training camp. A lot of teams have summer tests as far as running tests and weight tests, and if you don't pass those tests, some teams don't even let you come to training camp. They won't even let you go to training camp with the team if you haven't passed the summer conditioning tests. So there is no time to rest when you get to the college and pro ranks. After summer training with your conditioning coach, then you go right into summer camp, and that's when you're getting ready for the season, and whoever the first team is on you guys' schedule, you're getting ready to get after it. And that's an exciting time because another fall season is upon us, and everybody's got big dreams, big goals, big aspirations that they're going after. So that's summer training camp. So once again, you got your fall season, you got your winter conditioning, you got your pro timing day, you got your spring ball, you got your summer training, and then you go into summer camp, baby. So it is year-round if you are at the college or pro level. And the pros have off-season training as well. They have OTAs, which is organized team events, you know, organized team activities, where it's the same thing as college. Now, here is the difference, though, between college and the pros. In college, it's a little bit more structured, and it's a little bit more day-to-day. In the pros, there are some gaps. There are some gaps between the end of the season and the combine and the draft and OTAs before you go into training camp. There are some gaps. So the NFL guys know that they got to do a lot of the work on their own. The difference between a top-flight NFL guy and a fringe player, and fringe means that that's a guy that's on the bubble. That's a guy that bounces around from team to team. The difference between those two type of players are what they do in the off season. I was recently watching something on Jerry Rice, and this was one of those NFL Network deals. And they were talking about Jerry Rice's work ethic. And as you guys know, he's the greatest receiver of all time. And whether you believe that or not, the numbers don't lie. He's got all the major receiving categories on lock. So he's the best. And they were doing a special on Jerry Rice. And during the special, Steve Young was being interviewed. And Steve Young, his former quarterback, said, man, I knew this guy was crazy. I knew his work ethic was unmatchable. When 3 days after we won the Super Bowl versus the San Diego Chargers, I happened to go back to the team facility, and it was empty. It was like a ghost town. We just won the Super Bowl. Nobody wanted to be at work. We're celebrating, high-fiving, partying, all of that. And I went to the facility to grab something, and I saw somebody on the practice field. And I said, man, who is out there on the practice field running routes on air? Didn't have a quarterback throwing to him, didn't have a DB covering him, nothing. Who is this guy 3 days after the Super Bowl running routes on air? And sure enough, he got a little closer to the window to see it was Jerry Rice. So he was Super Bowl MVP, I believe 184 yards receiving, 8 to 12 catches and 3 touchdowns versus the San Diego Chargers. And you would think if somebody was going to let up, would let up after being Super Bowl MVP, but not Jerry Rice. He was getting ready in the offseason for next year. So you guys got to keep that in mind. There's always somebody working. There's somebody working to be better than you, or there's somebody working for your job, and you got to match it. Look at Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson is a man-child, as you guys know. He's the best running back in the NFL right now, and he basically did something that was unheard of from an anatomy standpoint and a reconstructive knee standpoint. Adrian Peterson tore his ACL and MCL in 2011, only rushed for 970 yards in 2011 because he ripped his knee up. Adrian Peterson did that in December, you guys. He did that towards the end of the football season. Most guys take 9 to 12 months before they even really start getting into their rehab regimen when they tear their ACL and MCL. A normal person walking down the street that has a 9-to-5 job and maybe works in corporate America, and they're playing basketball, you know, and playing some horse one day, and they tear their MCL and ACL, they probably won't even start rehabbing for 9 to 12 months. Adrian Peterson not only started rehabbing earlier, but he was in the NFL playing at the beginning of the 2012 season, and he had the best season he had ever had as a pro. He had the best season rushing than most running backs have ever had in the NFL. In 2011, he only had 970 yards. In 2012, he had over 2,000 yards, fresh off of an ACL and MCL total reconstruction. He broke the mold as far as what could be done in an offseason. You know, many of us are trying to find a way just to get a tenth of a second faster or a little bit stronger. This man came back from total knee reconstruction to rip up the NFL like he had never skipped a beat. So if he can do that in the offseason, what can you do? You know, I'm looking at probably about five major categories, you guys, five major places where I see a player can strengthen himself in the offseason, and you guys really need to pay attention to this. First and foremost is you can strengthen yourself mentally. So, you know, when you want to get mentally stronger, that means putting in the work in the offseason to watch more film. And don't just watch it casually. Look at the scenarios. You know, look at what's going on third and 10. Look at what, if you're a defensive back, look at what wide receivers usually do on a third and 10. You know, look at what you can do as a running back to hit the hole a little bit faster. So do the film work so you get stronger mentally. You can also put in more time with your coach. See if you can get your high school coach or your junior college coach or your college coach, see if you can get some of their time and put in more time with them in the film room. And then definitely you guys can always get in your playbook, especially the higher levels you go, the college and pro levels. That playbook gets a lot thicker. It's a lot heavier. So you need to be in that playbook even in the off season. Another area where I see players grow tremendously in the off season is with their health. And I'm talking about your physical health. You know, you want to watch what you eat. Not too much greasy food, not too much fried food. You want to stay away from some of the toxins, the alcohols, the drugs. You always want to keep water around. I'm a big believer that if you're a big-time athlete, you always got water on you. Every big-time athlete that I've ever seen always had a jug of water with them. Another thing is make sure you're getting your proper sleep, and then if you take some supplements, then you definitely want to ramp up with your supplements and make sure you're taking the right supplements in the off season. The third phase where guys can get stronger and better is in the strength phase. So you want to have a great weight room regimen. That is something that we will be covering a little bit more extensive in some of the locker room shows to come. I'm going to have some weight specialists and some health specialists talking to you guys as some of our featured guests. You want to work on your upper and lower body, you know, and strengthen both. Don't just be big upper body and then you got pixie stick legs. You know, you want to work both. As far as Olympic lifts, you want to do the power cleans and different things like that. The fourth area is speed, quick twitch stuff, explosive reps when you work out. You want to get on the track once again and work out with the track guys. Always work out with somebody faster than you. In the off season, you guys really want to find a good workout partner, somebody that's not going to let you slack, somebody that's going to push you. The thing that you guys can really do is the endurance. You know, run on the beach, run on track. You always want to jog and sometimes maybe do the parachute work or wear the weight vest, so that you guys can get prepared as far as your wind, as far as your endurance. Great players never get tired. Great players can separate themselves because they're never tired. You know, so between January to February, you get healthy and evaluate yourself. March through April, combines and strength and endurance. May through June is your two-a-day workouts, your speed workouts, your strength workouts. And then at the end of July, you just fine-tune and get ready for training camp in August. So, you know, that's what an off-season looks like, you guys. Hopefully it helped you out tonight. If you want more information about Before You Go Pro, do not hesitate to check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. We've got all our social networking there. You can buy the book, Before You Go Pro, which is a fabulous book for any young athlete. But hopefully tonight helped you. Work hard. This is your off season to make it to the top, and we will definitely see you there. Have a good one.